insofar as the interpretation is concerned. We want to do our interpretation, but the interpretation is here. The question is, I don't think that if I think interpretation explains being the profound teacher of this group, if I think the interpretation is here, to be equal, I don't think you've got enough of a chance out there on the side of telling somebody what I mean by what I say. If I don't have the ability to say what I mean what I say up here, I'm not qualified to be a teacher. I'm not mad. I want to argue with you. I'm not mad. It just needs to care for your benefit and for your protection. Everybody, but particularly women at this particular time. Now, the reason for it is we don't want you to lose yourself. That's just getting right. Now, there won't be no need, no interpretation out there. That's the word of the Lord. You'll not be blasphemed. We want you to know the teaching of the truth and what we stand for and what we don't stand for. So there won't be any mistakes about it. Now, I presume this is just about the size of it, so far as women are concerned. And there will be a roll call so that all of the women, you see, that are in attendance to this meeting, right, they will get information firsthand. And whatsoever is determined in this meeting, see, that will be the teaching of the school. There won't be any modifications or revisions of what has already gone before. I can promise you that. There won't be no letting down or barriers. But, and there won't be no propping up. See, and nobody has no protection other than the scripture. You know, that goes for me too. And I want that thoroughly understood. So, if this is just about the street.
Shirley and Mom are parking in the car, so
they're parked out there in the car?
No, they're parking in the car.
Oh, I see.
So they'll be there.
Okay. There may be some more that come in, too. But nevertheless, we want to start this thing on time. And I think since we are here, I think we ought to try on our part to see to it that we come to service on time. Don't come dragging in, you know, at 8:30 and all like that. Let's try it. Let's try to do that. Let's try to get that one learned tonight anyhow. Now, we want to have a scripture read. Now, we want you to pay strict attention to what you read, and we hope and trust that every one of you that don't have Bibles gets it. And if you don't have one, try to find one sometime. Now, I'm not particularly interested in what kind of a Bible you get, whether it's a dowry version, now that's the Vulgate, or the Roman Catholic, or the King James, or the Holy Name Bible. I recommend, of course, that you do get a Holy Name Bible, you see. And if you were able to own all three, see, then that would be nice. So that you can see the discrepancies and the correct and right interpretation of things as we go through. And now, for example, in using this King James Bible, I want to tell you now, you have been taught in school that the name Jesus Christ is incorrect. Now, you know that. We won't have to bother that. That's not what we're having a meeting about. And Yahweh is God, and Elohim, you see, that is God in shaping form. We speak of as the Holy Ghost. Yahshua the Messiah is Yahweh manifested in the flesh. And Elohim is Yahweh in the shaping form. You understand? Now, all of those mistakes is bad enough for the people to make errors about that and be misled. Now, that's bad enough. But now, what our problem is tonight is morals. People come in here from every which way and they look upon his class, and it has been said, see, repeated to such a place that I'm sick and tired of hearing. See, I'm just good and sick of it. That we teach here certain things which we will go delve into deeper, and they go out, and the public is under the impression that we teach thus and so forth, so on. And that's put upon my shoulder, and I'm blamed for those things. And I'm sure that you all wouldn't want me to be blamed for something that I'm not guilty of. I'm sure you would. And then this would be the place for an understanding. So now, what we're going to do now at this time, we're going to ask someone of these women to read the scripture lesson. Volunteer.
Seventh chapter, first of all.
Now, concerning
the... Not right here.
Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife have not part of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man have his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. But what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. If any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek
seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There's difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But if she is happier, if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. That's the 7th chapter, 1 Corinthians.
Now, if you notice, this Apostle Paul spoke about a wife and a virgin. He said there was a difference between a wife and a virgin. And now then, that would make us have to know something about the difference between a wife and a virgin. Now, that's the women's side of it. What is the difference between a wife and a virgin? Then, since men were implicated in it, then that would bring you to this. What is the difference between a eunuch and just a man that wasn't a eunuch? Now, then that means this, that we're going to have red here. We're going to have red out of the Bible. So we won't say that I said it before we go any further. So we're going to ask Dr. Harris to read Matthew, the 19th chapter. Now, this is under the law. Get that. This is Jesus talking. Read it hard out of the particular of
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee, and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorce and to put her away? he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this thing, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it.
Now you got something about a virgin and something about a eunuch. Now, next we're going to read the 7th chapter of Romans. Now, as you go along, now this is the Apostle Paul that's writing these letters to the Corinthians and to the Romans. See, not Matthew here, this is Jesus, and Matthew is writing here. And they're under the dispensation of the law. Now there's a difference between the dispensation of God and the dispensation of grace, which we seek to bring out. But now we want someone to read the 7th chapter of Romans, so that we got everything almost in front of us that we need to discuss, with the exception of one thing, and we'll narrow it down to the women when we come to the 5th, when we come to Titus. We want to work fast tonight.
Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing.
But the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my memory, born against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my memory. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans 7, 7.
Now then, we want someone to read Titus.
In hope of eternal life, which the Elohim, who cannot lie, promised before the ages began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of Joshua our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from Yahweh the Father and Joshua the Messiah our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of Yahweh, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, idle gluttons. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuff them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know Yahweh, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reproachful.
Because it's a continuation.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, that the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Second chapter of Titus.
Now, I think we have enough on this subject in front of us. We know where it is in the Bible, and it's sufficient. Now, you notice this is Paul's letter to Timothy, to Titus. Now, Titus and Timothy and others are bishops who have charge of different places where they went about. Now, the Romans here, where we read, and also in the Corinthians. Now, the Apostle Paul, being a Jew, he was one that lived and knew and understood the law. Now, the reason why I made reference to that, he had to go back to Matthew, is because Jesus, as we speak of him here, of Joshua the Messiah, is under the law. And if you notice in his epistle to the Romans, I want you to read the first verse. Please, somebody read it. All of you have the Bible.
Seventh
chapter, the first verse.
Know ye not, brethren.
Know ye not, brethren.
For I speak to them that know the law.
For I speak to them that know the law.
How that the law has dominion over a man as long as
How that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Thank you. Now, here's what I want you to see there. Now, Paul, he was not writing to the Romans or to the Gentiles. He was talking and wrote this epistle to those Jews who were up at Rome. And I want to say this too, of course, this is very deep in the doctrine, see, that neither Paul had not been there at this time, and neither was Peter there. And now how that brings up this. How then did the church get started in Rome? Or the congregation of the Assembly? Well, it got started. If you look in the second chapter of Acts of Apostles, you will find that on the day of Pentecost, or just before the day of Pentecost, they were there, received out of every nation under heaven. And it does say that some of them were there from Rome. So when Peter preached at Pentecost, see, he was preaching to those from Rome. You understand? Understand? So he was the first one to preach, that is, as a person, to the Jews that had come from Rome, you understand, to celebrate the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of Pentecost. And this was the year of Jubilee. Now, when we speak of the year of Jubilee, Once every 50 years was the year of Jubilee. But once every year was the Feast of Pentecost. That come every year. And every 50 years was the year of Jubilee. Now what happened then was that they sold all the debts and everything. You see, the man get arrested and slaves were set free and everybody free for a whole year. So then they had migrated from Rome and from everywhere else, you see, to Jerusalem. You see, this 50th year to celebrate the Feast of the Passover see, which was the 14th and 15th of April, you understand, and Pentecost was 53 days from that time. You understand? 53 days. 50 days after the resurrection. He was 3 days in the grave, and after he rose from the dead, well, then he tarried 40 days on earth, ascended into heaven, and 10 days after that, he poured out the Holy Spirit. So then they were there to celebrate the feast of the Passover and also the feast of Pentecost. See, this time it was the 50th year, so nobody wasn't going to do anything among the Jews for a whole year. And they were dwelling there and they were living there, you understand? From Rome and from everywhere. It tells you here in the second chapter of Acts of Apostles. Understand? Mm-hmm. Now, when Peter preached to us, those were Jews. Now, Paul saw the Jews, you understand, that same year, 34. See, he was the persecutor that started the persecution and the scattering of the Jews. You understand? And then later, Herod, see, stretched forth his hand and persecuted some more. You understand? And they were dispersed back. And now Peter, listen to what I'm trying to tell you because I have a point in all of it. Now later, Peter went to Caesarea and he preached there to the Gentiles. The Gentiles there, Cornelius and his household. Now they were Romans. The Italian band, they were Romans. You understand? And at the time that Messiah was born, Rome was ruling the world.
That's right.
See, it was a universal dynasty that was ruling the world. First Babylon, Medo, Persia, Grecia, then Rome. You see, ruled the world. So now, the point I'm trying to get over to you is this. I'm trying to show you that neither Paul, neither Peter had been at Rome. See, Peter had preached to them on the day of Pentecost, those Jews. See, Paul had dispersed some of them. You understand? And they went on back. You understand? Now that's Paul, that's Peter's position, and that's Paul's position. Mm-hmm. Explain. You understand? Now then, 7 years from that time, Peter was the first to preach to the Gentiles, Cornelius and his household, and they were Romans or the Italian band. You understand? Now I said that so you could see how that the church down in Rome got started. See, so now Paul is saying here in his epistle, see, I speak to them that know the law, how that a man is. You understand? Now, did you get my point clear? You see it clear? And it was those that were dispersed that was down there that started the congregation of the assembly. Now, Pete wasn't there setting up in no, you understand? And neither had Paul been there at the time. So now Paul, to them that are down there, he's writing this letter to the Romans. Now if you look, listen, if you look in the first chapter of Romans, I'd suggest that you put that down too. See, look in the first chapter of Romans. Let's put this down and you study this. First chapter. Then you can see the immoral conditions that was going on at Rome. You understand? The immoral conditions that was going on at Rome. Now, while you look at the immoral conditions that was going on at Rome, see, just throw it and make it worldwide. See, it wasn't any different. And just make it worldwide. Now, the Jews, you see, having the law itself, see, they knew what the scriptures are taught. Concerning the wife and the husband and all of those various different kind of things, the morals and whatnot. Now they had no excuse. You understand? No excuse at all. Now here's something else I want to bring up right in there. The errors and mistakes are made by all of the denominations because I know anything at all about it. See? And it comes up a lot of dissension about it. See? Now transfer what I'm going to say to the school. Now, under the dispensation of the law, there were 12 tribes. See? It was the tribe of Levi. See? The tribe of Judah. See? Now, out of the Levites come the priesthood. See? And out of the tribe of Judah comes the king. There's no two tribes, don't. Now, the Levites, they didn't have no inheritance. In Canaan's land. Now, I would have you to know that every last one of those priests were married. John the Baptist could not have been, had it not been for Zechariah. You understand? He was high priest. And his wife's name was Elizabeth. You see? And they were the mother and father of John the Baptist. Now they were married. Called marriage pertains to the law. See? Now you've got over here in the teaching of the Roman Catholic celibate. Celibacy of the priesthood. Mm-hmm. See, they don't lie. The priests and all to marry. And you know that the racket is going on. You know all about that. Now then, out of this tribe of two was where the Messiah was to come. Now before the law, was the Abraham and Melchizedek. Melchizedek priesthood. Now, Melchizedek priesthood was before the law. I should have wrote this up here. I got it within the chapter back. This is Melchizedek. So you missed the law here. Now, what did I bring this up for? Now you have read, I speak to them that know the law. And here in Matthew, the scribes and the Pharisees that were supposed to have known the law. You understand? They went to Messiah and asked him the question that you just read here in Matthew. Is it lawful for a man to put away his life for every cause? You understand? And he answers them. See? You understand? And he explained it. Then they come right back at him, fired right back at him, and said, then why did Moses in the law give a bill of divorce? You understand? Why did he do that? Here he comes right back, you understand, and said from the very beginning it was not so. From the very beginning. So, then what he did then was took it back to Adam and Eve. Understand? And now then, this was the division of the sexes that we talk about. Now, man originally was anthropomorphic. That is to say, he was male and female in one embodiment. Adam was a man that had a womb. You understand? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That's the way it is. There won't be no argument about that. See? Okay. See? And God divided and made it male
and female. That's the way the man was made in the first place. So then that's what Messiah went back to from the big beginning. See, the woman was taken out of the man. You understand? You see that? And he said from the beginning it was not so. And he tells them and did in the law when they asked the question. See, he referred them back to that. You understand what I mean? So now, the real truth about the whole situation is this. Let me tell you something. See, so that you can see what you are doing. So that you can have some understanding. Now it says, now therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. They claim shall be one blood, one flesh. You listen? Now all men, regardless of so-called race and color, that dwell upon this earth are one flesh and one blood. They're that from a creative point of view. They're already that. See? There won't be no fixing and no repairing and no getting situated on that at all. They're already that. Okay? And all brothers and sisters. Now, I started to show you by the hook, which I'm going to have to come back to in the spring. And that's this. Out of the tribe of Levi, see, come the priest. Now the tribe of Levi, they had no inheritance in Canaan. Now what you mean is this, that all the rest of the tribes, the left, see then they had to see after them. Pay the tithes and whatnot. You understand? And they had charge of the tabernacle and of the temple and the service thing. And all the contributions that come in, you understand, was to take care of the priesthood and for the repairs on the temple and so forth and so on. Because they didn't have no inheritance. But they were granted enough land. You see, around about, and all the responsibility was on all 12, all 11 of them tribes to take care of that one tribe of Levi. Now, you understand? Listen carefully. Now, none of them 12 tribes, not one, they were all the 12 sons of Jacob. See, now they were all brothers. See, 12 sons of Jacob. That makes up the 12 tribes. You understand? And their wives. Now listen, they were not allowed to marry out of their respective tribes. All of them were Jews now. And Israelites. But they were not allowed to marry. In other words, the tribe of Levi couldn't marry in the tribe of Judah, and the tribe of Judah couldn't marry in the tribe of Levi, and so forth and so on. Well, what's that all about? That was to keep the inheritance within the tribe. Now, as we come down in our teaching and whatnot in the world out here, see, now they don't realize that. They don't understand that. You see? Get it now? Now, here's what that would mean. Say, well, now look, I can't marry, in my brother's wife and so forth and so on. You understand? Now, that's one of the things where they're making a myth out of it. You see? Get the point? And not understanding about this adultery and whatnot. You see, get done down on the it's that Messiah's talking about. All twisted and messed up in it. You understand? And the reason for it was to keep the inheritance within that tribe. Now here's what I mean when I say inheritance within the tribe. I see, when Joshua went across the river Jordan and divided up the land, you see, he gave this tribe this and this tribe this and this tribe that and this tribe that and they tried this and they tried that and so forth and so on. You understand? You see? See?
Mm-hmm.
Now then, they couldn't marry in order to keep the inheritance within their tribe. They couldn't intermarry in the tribe in order to keep the inheritance within the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You understand? So they were all brothers and sisters. But whatever was wrong with that tribe had to marry. You see? Now, if such a thing would occur, it would marry. You understand? Then this is what they would say. Say, well, if he married in, within his family, and I don't think his offspring is going to have good things. So God didn't use no judgment there.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? See?